Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
NFL lunch here on this Monday. Cut down day tomorrow in the National Football League. Bits and pieces are coming out throughout the league. Unfortunately, Rack Jarrett, former Terp, looks like he is done in Tampa, at least as far as making a 53-man roster. Could still be a practice squad guy. Shiloh Sanders also. Scoop Huntley in Cleveland. Yeah. So as soon as these things start to come out in the full effect, we will share them with you. But one guy that's not going to be on the bubble here with the Baltimore Ravens is Mike Green. And here's Mike Green talking about that final preseason game and what it meant for him.
I mean, there was no conversation about it. I just knew that, I mean, if I had the opportunity to, of course, you want to go out there and capitalize what I can do. And but as the other stick of it, it's like if I came out here and they told me that I wasn't, then I was just going to try to prepare for the Bills. But so I did play today, which I think was great for me, just to build up my football endurance. And
yeah, I thought, I wouldn't have been shocked either way if he played or didn't play. And he and Ajabo made a couple plays, unblocked again, but he made a couple plays. Mike Green probably had his least effective game, I would say, watching him play. It's for him, just getting reps is a good thing for him. Just because against Buffalo, what are we looking at, Bob? You think Buffalo gonna throw it a lot? Think he gets what, 20 to 25 reps probably against Buffalo, I'm guessing?
If the Ravens are up by 10,
then he'll get more reps.
Yeah. I think the score could dictate, but you never know. I mean, we still got a few days, weeks, well, a couple of weeks before that one. But here's Mike Green talking about the impact of offensive or defensive coordinator Zach Orr.
Players can attack. I mean, that's all you can really ask for. And I feel like schematically, the way that this defense is built, it's a lot of history behind it, and they've done a lot of research and been able to dig up the oldest of files and try to put everything together at once. And I feel like Zach did a great job of just combining what's been here also with what he's brought here. So I think defense is good.
I think it's going to be a very aggressive defense, and I think they've got a lot of talent. And they got a lot of guys that can get to the quarterback, I think, inside and outside. And I think they've got good blitzers. I think Hamilton's a good blitzer. And I think Simpson's a good blitzer if they use him in there. And Marlon's a good blitzer. So I think they got a lot of guys that, they're going to get to the quarterback. We saw it in the preseason, Bob. How many teams really blitz a lot in the preseason? And Martin was the one coming in, getting the sack and doing those types of things, in the preseason. So I think when they're playing Buffalo, I think they're coming after them from all different angles, and I think they'll get them some sacks.
Very excited, and we made this clear here on this show anyway, that Mike Green's upside's pretty strong.
Extremely.
Starks and Green, their first two picks, I mean, both going to be integral parts of a defense, which we hope, health permitting, no more communication problems, is going to be one of the best in the National Football
League. I think both will be up for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, that's the kind of talent and stuff they have. And I just think that both are going to make a ton of plays. And I've said it all along. I think Starks has 6-plus interceptions, and And I think that Green has 8-plus sacks.
Now, maybe the most important rookie of them all is the guy kicking the football for the Ravens. He's replacing a legend in Justin Tucker, who could be headed to Canton when it's all said and done. He's got the off-the-field problems, which have tarnished his reputation, which led to his dismissal from this organization. Now sitting at a 10-game suspension whenever he signs with another team, which will be in late November. But Tyler Loop, he's the dude. He kicked 3 field goals against the Cowboys. 2 over 50, 1 over 60. So, Looper, what about that range of yours?
No, I think it's stayed... It's stayed about the same, like, for probably 4 or 5 years now. You know, you get to a point where it's like, I don't need to work on range much anymore. Now it's just consistency and accuracy and repeatability. And
I think the thing that I liked about the preseason, Bob, was 2 away games. So I think that helps him, you know, kicking away games, since Buffalo is going to be on the road. He's exactly right. It's about consistency, and that's the thing. And, you know, he was awesome in the preseason. Is he going to be awesome in the regular season? We'll see. I mean, that's everybody's hope, is that he's exactly what he was in the preseason. You know, it's like baseball player. Bob, how many guys are great, you know, in the preseason, and then when you get to a regular season, it's like, damn, what happened to him? You know, so... knock on wood that he is the same guy in the regular season that he is now. The pressure is going to be totally different.
It's going to be immense.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about his first game is going to be on national television in a playoff rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the 3 of the top 4 Super Bowl teams projected in August going into that one. And the Ravens don't want to start with an L on the road like they did last year against Kansas City. A win gives them kind of an upper hand, maybe, on making a run at the number one seed. There are no absolutes after just one game, but if the defense does whatever it does positively, Lamar plays like Lamar, et cetera, and they lose, you know, 23-21 because he missed a field goal at the end of the game, that's what we're going to be talking about. Yep.
And, Bob, this is going to be the biggest crowd that he's ever kicked in front of, you know, nationally and, you know, on TV and at the stadium. It's going to be loud. They're going to be crazy. Home opener, all that kind of stuff. All kinds of festivities and crap going on before the game. Oh, it's going to be – there'll be some butterflies in that one.
Haley Steinfeld's going to be there on top of everything else. It's NFL Lunch. Kenyon Martin, or Keon Martin, rather. He had the interception return for a touchdown. He's been making plays. He's asked after the game, do you feel like you've done enough to make the team?
The ball, wherever the ball falls, that's where it's going to fall. I'm not really looking. I mean, I just focus on me. I know if I do what I got to do, then things going to play out in my favor. But I'm not really – if I make the 53 – I make the 53, but it's not something that's on my mind these next couple of days.
Jeff Zrebeck, The Athletic, has him on
the
53.
Jonas and I don't. Bobby's 5'9", 170. So it means he's probably 5'8 and a half.
Right.
He's not a big guy. And, you know, the receivers in the division, yeah. Do you want him on DK Metcalf? Do you want, you know, on some of those bigger guys? That's the issue with him, is his size.
Now, Jay Higgins IV was an All-American at Iowa. Yep. And he's been making plays himself here in the preseason and throughout training camp. And here's Higgins talking about, okay, what are you feeling here?
Yeah, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's football. And I knew throughout this entire process that this would be my strongest push to making the team. It wasn't going to be the combine. It wasn't going to be the broad jump that really got me on the roster. It was going to be me playing football. And so I felt like I showed that I could play at this level. You know, and I felt like I learned a lot of things. You know, so I'm excited to see what the future holds.
The thing with him is, I think the thing that's hurting him is, you know, you got Roquan and you got Buchanan. You got another rookie who's going to be in there. And then you got Jake Hummel, who's a special teams guy. Are they going to put – they're not going to add a fifth. They don't have the numbers to add a fifth. So can he beat Jake Hummel out as an inside backer? Probably. Can he beat Jake Hummel out on special teams? No. You know, so that would be the issue right now. So I think Bobby goes on to practice squad, and everybody says, oh, you're going to lose him. Here's the thing about it is for somebody to pick a guy off the Ravens who they cut to put on their team, you got to cut a guy. You got to cut a guy. So it's not as slam dunk as you think. You know, the only way that Higgins gets claimed by another team is if a team really needs a linebacker. You know, that's the thing. And, you know, and has he done enough? That's why I think he'll be on Ravens practice squad.
When we come back, American League East report, we'll look at what happened in the division over this past weekend and preview the busy schedule for this Monday and beyond, and look at the standings and the wild card stuff, because things are still rather interesting. That NL West, hey, up for grabs. And then we got Miles Simmons from ProFootballTalk.com talking about the Bills, the Chiefs, and everybody else as the football season of 2025 starts next Thursday, with Philadelphia defending that championship, or at least trying.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
American League East report here on this Monday. It was a crazy, zany weekend in Major League Baseball. Final week of August as we head into the month of September, when pennant races are going to get out of control. Hearts are going to be broken. Stunning runs, possibly, to the postseason for the Orioles. Well, that's not happening. Whatever hope Nolan had ended when the Orioles lost the first three against Houston. But to their credit, they salvaged the finale behind Trevor Rogers, man. Seven strong, five hits, a run, three walks, nine Ks. Keegan Aiken outstanding, picking up the multi-out save, inning in two-thirds, three strikeouts. Gunnar Henderson and Vasquez, he went yard as well. Now he went 2-for-4 with a ribby, so... disappointing series ends with a win. 3-2 was the final score. So now the Orioles get ready for the Red Sox. Tomas Sugano, 10-5, 397. He's on a one-year deal that expires in about 5 weeks. Orioles are 60-70. Real quick, Nolan revisiting. We're talking about Trevor Rogers. What about Tomo? Tomo, going ahead with a two-year deal? Relatively team-friendly or what?
I mean, it might be another guy that's another one-year deal type of thing. I think it has less to do with performance for him, more to do with just where he's at in his baseball career. I mean, he didn't even have to make the leap to the United States in the first place, but he wanted to do it because he had dominated in Japan forever. So if he still has gas left in the tank, I would think that he wouldn't want to uproot himself again, unless it was like West Coast, where a lot of Japanese players like to go. But other than that, it's not. I don't see him going to like the Royals or something like that. So make him an offer, another year, probably around the same price, maybe a little extra money, but yeah, he could be good depth.
With Bradish coming back tomorrow, what are our pitch count? 80,
if that.
Yeah, they stretch him a little bit. I mean, Wells threw over 70 in his last outing, maybe headed to the bullpen when he comes back next week because he's got another rehab, but looks like Bradish will go tomorrow. You capping him? You have to cap him.
Well, yeah, it's a certainty.
Much?
Yeah. I mean, look, whatever he was throwing in his rehab starts, I think that's a good baseline, but I'm really not pushing it much farther beyond that. And I wouldn't think that, I mean, what's the benefit to doing that? You're not competing for anything. You just want him to have success for his own sake, for his own mental, I guess, above anything else. So, I mean, I might even be on the conservative side and say go less than what he was at in his rehab starts.
Yeah, just bust off the rust, get a little confidence rolling, and see in Sarasota as a prominent member, we think, of the 2026 Orioles rotation. But drop 3 out of 4, do the Birds of Baltimore, Boston tonight, as we said, 6:35, our show, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, at 5:30, live from Pickles Pub, me, Jim Hunter, and Joe LaCroix. Stop by, say hello if you're inclined to do so. It's going to be a beautiful night in Baltimore tomorrow also. It's a four-game series. Remember, Thursday's an afternoon extravaganza. All right. Elsewhere in the division, the Rays taking on the Cardinals. And a guy who's had a monster season hit a monster home run for Tampa.
Right-hander goes to right with this one. A high shot to right, and that baby is gone. Grand slam on the first pitch. Caminero hits it out the other way.
FanDuel on the call. Christopher Morel also went deep. Ryan Pepia picked up the win as the Rays handle the Cardinals there 7-2. Tampa in the process wins that series 2-1. Marlins taking on the first place Blue Jays. And a guy who's kind of sort of named after a grocery chain. He had a home run.
Wagaman now with a drive. Deep left field. Going, going, gone! Goodbye, Eric Wagaman. His ninth homer of the season.
Eric Wagaman goes deep. Marcie drives it 3 runs. Perez beats Gausman as the Marlins beat the Blue Jays 5-3. Toronto, however, does win that series 2-1. And then last night, the finale of a 4-game set up at the Bronx. The Yankees, like the Orioles did yesterday, salvaged one. Oops, he did it again. ESPN on the call. Grisham hit 2. Jazz Chisholm hit 2 home runs. Carlos Rodon picked up his 14th win of the season. 7-2 was the final score. The Red Sox, however, take 3 out of 4 in that series in the Bronx. So right now, winning the battle of the wild card in the American League's Eastern Division. Today's schedule, Tampa's at Cleveland, 6:40. Washington at the Yankees, 7:05. Minnesota's at Toronto, 7:07. And as we said, the Orioles hosting the Red Sox. Start of a 4-game set coming up tonight at 6:35. Standings, American League East, Toronto's 5 up on Boston. Yankees, 5.5. Detroit now 10.5 up on Kansas City. Cleveland struggle bus. They've lost 5 in a row. They're 12.5 out. Houston 2 up with Seattle in the West. National League, Philly 7 up on the Mets. Brewers 5 up on the Cubs. And in the National League West, tied. Dead heat as the Dodgers salvaged that one yesterday after San Diego had taken the first couple of that series. So they are tied for first place. Wild card standings. In the American League, Boston, New York, and the Mariners are in. Kansas City's 3 back. Texas, 4.5. Cleveland is 5. National League, Chicago, San Diego, the Mets are in. Reds are 1.5 off the pace. So we're starting to distance between the haves and the have-nots and the realistics and the unrealistic. For those of you holding out hope, Orioles are 9.5 out of the lock. 9.5. Out of the wild card. But they can be spoilers, and I guess we'll take whatever we could get at this stage of the season. When we come back, NFL talk, Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com, Buffalo, Kansas City, Buffalo. They meet in playoffs. Kansas City usually wins, but they both win their division. Who's shakiest, if either one is, and is there distance between the Ravens and the rest in the AFC?
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
North. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Let's welcome in from ProFootballTalk.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline to talk about all of these subjects and more, like division champs, et cetera, et cetera. He's Miles Simmons. Miles, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
No problem, guys. Hey, can we just cancel the segment and keep playing Hey 19? I mean, like, that's probably better than listening to me for the next 30 minutes.
Give me a chance to go to the bathroom, which I should hit the last break. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that and everything. But look at the AFC, defending division champs, Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, and Kansas City. And your opinion, Miles Simmons, who is the least likely to repeat as division champs, and who could be a sleeper team in each division that could rise up possibly, not necessarily to overtake the division leader, but to make a run a la Denver last year at the postseason this year?
Okay, I'll start with the sleeper team, and I would go with the Las Vegas Raiders. And part of the reason why is because whenever you see a division that had as much success as the AFC West did last year, it's not likely to repeat itself. But I'm also just a huge believer in Pete Carroll. What he did at Seattle for so many years, I mean, it's not like this was a team that was really in turmoil. But, you know, once you've been in a place for so long, sometimes the message starts to fade in its effectiveness, let's call it. So I like Pete Carroll a lot. I like how they brought in Chip Kelly, made him one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in the game. I like Geno Smith paired with those guys. So I think they could do some things and make some noise. And, you know, no matter what, they're going to be competitive. So that's just the way Pete Carroll does things. But from, I guess, the standpoint of division winners, right? I mean, it's tough because I don't see Buffalo being dethroned in the AFC East. Like, you got the Patriots now with Mike Vrabel. They're going to be scrappier. They're going to get the most out of the talent they have. But they just don't have that much talent. They've got to, I think, go through at least another offseason to really, truly become contenders. In the AFC North, you know, Pittsburgh is going to be in the mix. But how much do we really think that Aaron Rodgers at above the age of 40 is going to be able to really carry them into the playoffs? And is their defense going to be that much better so that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to do all the work? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw Lamar Jackson return to practice today, so that's a good sign. You know, the foot injury is not that serious. And look, I think Baltimore is the best in that division. I think Cincinnati's defense might be a disaster again. Just based on, I mean, last Monday, and I don't know if you guys saw that, but why is it that we had a simple power play that against the starting defense and we can't even run fit it? I mean, I don't understand what that is, even under a new coordinator. So that doesn't make any sense to me. Cincinnati, great offense. Defense still looks very porous. And AFC South, I mean, do you think the Jaguars are really going to be that great? I don't know. I mean, it's still the Texans by default until I see anything that's going to change my mind. But Cam Ward's going to be fun and exciting. But other than that, I don't know.
Hey, Miles, when do you think Jackson's Dart starts his first game for the Giants?
I would be surprised if it is any later than the first week of December, because I think Dart did a good job in what he was asked to do throughout the preseason. And that's not necessarily the easiest thing, you know, to come into an NFL system, really get yourself acclimated. One of the things that's going to certainly help him is the fact that he has Malik Nabers out there, right? I mean, whenever you've got a receiver who is as talented as that guy is, yeah, he might be covered, but you can still throw it to him because he's going to make plays if you give him the opportunity to do so. But when you've got a Russell Wilson kind of holding down the for it right now, that has an expiration date. I mean, I think you've seen that over the last few years. And Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl, he's a quarterback who has won a Super Bowl, but the ability is not necessarily there as it was earlier in his career. And that is to be expected when a quarterback goes into his mid-30s. He's not going to be able to make as many plays with his legs. So you've got Wilson as the placeholder. He is the bridge. I think that over time, once Wilson starts throwing more interceptions, once he starts making boneheaded plays that he tends to make, unfortunately, and we've seen it over the last few years, then it's going to be, all right, let's turn the page to the rookie. Let's see what he can do. And it's going to be interesting to see if Brian Daboll kind of takes the same approach as Raheem Morris did with the Falcons last year. You know, are we going to really see it that Russell Wilson is just not capable of what he needs to do, and we're going to keep seeing that and keep seeing that and keep seeing that? Or is it going to be, hey, you know, Russ, thanks for keeping the seat warm, but now the rook has made enough progression inside the building where we feel comfortable turning to him on a week-to-week basis? I think that's going to be interesting.
Hey, Miles, was there anybody in the preseason that really jumped out at you that kind of surprised or you thought they were better than what they were or drafted?
Well, I mean, you could obviously look at Cleveland and look at Shedeur Sanders, right? And that whole quarterback situation is weird. Joe Flacco, I thought, was pretty obviously should be the starter going into the season throughout the course of the offseason. And obviously now that has ended up being the case. We're talking about, you know, guy you guys know very, very well there in Baltimore, another Super Bowl winning quarterback. But I think from the standpoint of the rookies, where you've got a Shedeur Sanders who is probably underdrafted, but now he is in the building. And I think some of it you can see, like in the last preseason game that they played against the Rams, Shedeur Sanders had the problem where he starts drifting back in the pocket, and he's drifting back, and he's drifting back, and then he takes sacks. And that's part of why I think, you know, even though the discourse has gotten so extraordinarily weird around Shedeur Sanders right now, and there are several reasons for that, but when you look at him, he is a quarterback that has ability, but will need time to acclimate to the league, to learn offense, to really figure out how it is that he can be at his best when his best is required. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with needing to be developed, but he does. And so that's where I look at it, and I'm like, yeah, the first experience against the Panthers was nice. It was solid. But then you continue on and you see, hey, there's stuff that we have to improve, and that's okay. That's what being developed is all about. It's just going to be a matter of, can the Browns do that? I don't know.
Now, Miles, what do you think is going to happen with Hendrickson and with Parsons?
I'm flabbergasted, and I guess befuddled is maybe a better word, as to why Jerry Jones continues to do this stuff with his star players. Just sign Micah Parsons. Why are we messing around with this? I don't get it. I don't understand, like, the now the media tour, which kind of coincides with the Netflix documentary, which I will admit I've watched the first few episodes of it. It's quite good. You know, if you are a fan of the NFL, you want to learn more about the 90s Cowboys, it's great. But when you look at what Jerry Jones has done in the past, some of that probably does inform what he's doing today, where it's like, oh, we got to generate publicity, you know, and I know I'm right, and I've made these decisions, and da-da-da-da-da. But, like, these were 30 years ago, you know? So sometimes we have to evolve, and we have to do things differently. And I think the way contracts are structured today, if you have a guy like Micah Parsons, don't mess around with it. Sign him after his third year is completed at the first opportunity you can, because that's the only way, that's the best way to do it, because you know you're going to pay him. You know he wants to get paid. And then at least at that point, the price of the brick doesn't keep going up as you continue to mess around with these things. So I expect that, you know, at some point in the next week or so, and I wouldn't surprise me if it's in the next couple of days, because that's about the time when CeeDee Lamb got signed last year, if we start hearing, oh, yeah, you know, Micah Parsons and the Cowboys have finally agreed to a deal. Again, why this didn't happen, you know, last year, let alone earlier this offseason, I don't know. The Trey Hendrickson thing is more interesting to me in some ways, but also befuddling because it's the Bengals. If you didn't want to sign Trey Hendrickson, then you need to trade him. He is vastly underpaid compared to the rest of the market at defensive end, and he's led the league in sacks last year. He's had 17.5 sacks the last 2 years. It's not like the production has not been there. Now, okay, you look at Cincinnati's defense, how much worse are they going to be without Trey Hendrickson than with? We may find out. But it's not like that unit was great anyway. I just think that if you are going to play this game where you don't want to pay him past a certain level, then trade him to somebody who is willing to do it, and then you get those picks and you can start rebuilding your team. And the time to do that really was in February, in March, in early April, the night of the draft, so that you can reload and get that thing done in time for this season, where you still have prime Joe Burrow, you've got prime Jamar Chase, you've got T. Higgins who's back. All of these things are just not good for team building, especially when you pair that with the dispute that happened with Shamar Stewart that went into training camp. So I think that it's bad team construction from the Bengals.
Miles Simmons, what's happening at ProFootballTalk.com? I'm guessing it's a slow day for you guys, right?
Yeah, you're going to keep learning about, hey, we got all the cuts that are going on in and around the league, certainly things that are happening in other areas of the NFL as well. I mean, you want to talk, I just wrote about the Saints quarterback situation. Still no white smoke from the Saints facility. We'll see who they end up choosing between Tyler Shook, Spencer Rattler. But, of course, all that you can catch at ProFootballTalk.com.
Yeah, it's all leading to them taking Arch Manning next year in the draft. Anyway, he's Miles Simmons for ProFootballTalk.com. Miles, we appreciate it as always. We'll catch up with you before the official kickoff so we can do our official predictions. How's that sound?
This sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
You got Miles Simmons. No doubt. Miles Simmons, everybody. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access at 2. And then Baltimore Baseball Tonight live for Pickles. Orioles and Red Sox start a four-game series. Orioles salvage the finale against the Astros. Can they do damage to Boston's playoff hopes? I mean, do we connect dots as to who's cut or not with this attendance report?
Who is it?
Well, Patrick Ricard, I'm guessing he's
all right. Got still a hammy.
Wade with the shoulder. Guillory with the collarbone. Likely foot. No Andrews, no Baylor Cup. Bubble guy, right?
Yeah.
Emory Jones. Okay. Reed Holsky. Undrafted offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't matter. He might have already got cut.
Yeah. Jake Hummel.
Because Jake didn't play Saturday.
Adiz Isaac, as we know, he's going to be out for a minute. Quenco, he's been hurt, mm-hmm. right? DBs, no Jair, no Awuzie. And MJ Devonshire, not at the practice
I'm guessing
spot today.
Alexander practiced what? Or he was out running or whatever last. I think they're doing everything they can, Bob. I think... I don't know, maybe Alexander and Awuzie are back for sure on Monday.
Next Monday, you're saying?
Game week, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, Alexander hasn't been full participant in, what, 3 weeks?
August 9th.
Yeah. So, what's today, the 25th?
Yes.
Anywho, if you're a Rams fan, Matt Stafford returned to practice today, so there's good news.
Yep, well, good for them.
Nolan, what's going on with you over there?
Oh, that is big for the Rams because it was getting really dire over there. It was almost like, what's the real story going on out here? I mean, it was just, he's going to be back a couple weeks ago. Nothing comes of it. The fact that the nature of the injury, I still think is something that's going to bother him pretty much the entire year. So he might be ready now, but I mean, give it a couple weeks and the back could be flaring up again.
Something says, so we'll be seeing Jimmy G make a couple starts for the Rams here. In 2025. Nolan, you're not doing BBT today. It's Joe LaCroix, me, and Jim Hunter, but you'll be there tomorrow, right?
I will be there tomorrow. And looking forward to it.
And you'll certainly be here for Turn It Up Tuesday tomorrow.
Yeah, that's who, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tuesday. I mean, if you don't want to show up, I mean, I can't tell you what to do. But I do know that we'll be doing our picks for college football week. What was that? Week 0?
Week 0. Yeah.
So week 1 will be this weekend since I'm off Friday. So we'll get our picks in. And then next week, the fun really starts as we get ready for what you won't be here. So we'll have to get yours for via carrier pitch.
Yep. We do the same thing every year. It's all good.
It's still for booze.
Yep. So
all
we did
caught
the,
up, right? No.
We our
oh, Steve,
game,
you owe me and Vinny booze, by the way.
Our game didn't count because I was the only one that won Saturday. Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah.
All right, now let's go to the fun house.
All right. Quick Draws Funhouse, sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
Start Ravens here. Texter says, my confidence in Tyler Loop is sky high right now. Had some questions about rolling with a rookie kicker earlier in the offseason, but he's pretty much passed every single test they've thrown at him, all while being heavily monitored by media and the fans. He doesn't have to hit him from 60-plus, but knowing he has that ability should at least let Harbaugh enter the seasons with no restrictions for the kicking game.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Harbaugh and stuff, I'm feeling pretty good. Going into the game, I'm feeling good, you know? And then when I go ask Randy, how was warm-ups, you know? Good. He's hitting it good. All right, I'm confident. Then if he makes that first kick, or first PAT, hopefully, I'm good.
More on the Ravens. This texter says that their biggest takeaway from the preseason is overall health. I know Bob was just reading off the names there of people that are not present, but as the texter notes, besides the brief scare for Lamar likely being out for camp, not many essential pieces, or starters rather, that are missing. They need a full-strength squad right out the gate, with how tough the September schedule is.
Well, the only ones, you know, what they got, Ricard's got a hammy. Andrews has been out for about a few, like a week
well,
now.
Well, he's key now. The likely's
going to miss some time. Oh, no doubt. And then the two corners, those two guys are key. I'm guessing Harbaugh's going to say today they'll all be able to play in the first game.
But is Isaac kind of a sneaky, tough blow to the defense based on whatever their expectations were for him?
Isaac? I think the only thing is, Bob, if they would have gone as is, would he have been inactive? I think he'd have been more important on special teams than he would have been, because he was on number one kickoff and all that. And then probably in that rotation, they'd have thrown him in, give some guys some breathers.
Over to the Orioles, Texter says, Boris clients have signed early in the past. It's not a hard rule that he forces on his clients. If anything, his strategies as an agent have been challenged in recent years, with some of his big-name players still on the market when the regular season begins. If Henderson or anyone else wanted to sign, they would.
Oh, sure. They could do whatever they want. But use a basketball free throw analogy. His clients hitting free agency is like Rick Barry, 90% of the time. But last offseason, 23-24, he had a brutal year with a couple of his guys. I mean, Blake Snell didn't get in till late. That's why they made sure he got paid handsomely going into this season with the LA Dodgers. But the norm says that's not usually how it goes. But again, Boris works for Gunnar. So if the Orioles go, hey, we'll give you 10 for 600 mil, I'm guessing he'd be real inclined to maybe look hard at that deal.
And last text of the day says, unless it is Gunnar or Rogers, I don't need to see any in-house guys get extensions this winter. The money would be better spent trying to add free agents, fixing the many holes on this roster. Re-upping two of your bright stars is fine, but it doesn't do anything to boost the overall team.
Their main need, maybe a manager.
Yep.
Then a coaching staff. But we'll see what Wells might bring to the equation. Tyler Wells, it's the possible closer. If that's not an option, maybe they view him more as a starter, then they're going to need a closer next year. But, you know, all contending teams need that guy, and putting together some other bullpen pieces, because Yennier Cano, what the hell has happened to that guy here in 2025? That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow with Turn It Up Tuesday, BBT tonight, live from Pickles Pub, coming down for Game 1, Red Sox Orioles. Stop by, see us. We start at 5:30. We're brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Inside Access is coming up next. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.